So Exodus chapter 33. Exodus, and again the 33rd chapter, reading at verse number 14. Exodus 33, verse 14. And Jehovah said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And Moses said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not of him. For wherein shall be known here, thy people have found grace in thy sight, is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The words are, So shall we be separated, I and thy people. Now, rather a big jump, Ephesians chapter 1. The colored brother in the land of Georgia said, Let us turn to the epistle to the Ephesians. He said an epistle is an apostle's wife. Now we know better than that here, don't we? The two colored fellows met there on there in the land. The one said, Does it be you in the Lord's army? Yes, I be in the Lord's army. I be a Baptist. Huh, you not be in the Lord's army at all. You be in the Lord's navy. Verse 12. Ephesians 1 verse 12. That we should be the praise of his glory, the first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, as if ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, and the praise of his glory. The words are found in verse number 13, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. One last scripture, John and the 20th chapter, please. John chapter 20, reading in verse number 19. Then the same that evening being the Thursday of the week, when the doors were shut, for the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. They were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. The words are, As my Father sent me, even so send I you. The Lord will add his blessing to that reading from his word to our hearts tonight. You got the outline, haven't you? We are a people saved by the Lord, separated unto the Lord, sealed by the law of the Spirit, and all for one distinct purpose, that we might be our people saved. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. Now we got a new chorus for you tonight. Probably new to some of you. And those of you who do not sing it out with me, it matters to him about you. It matters to him about you. All the day long, all the night through, he's caring for me and he's caring for you. His mercies are tender, his love is ever true. It matters to him about you. It matters to him about you. It matters to him about you. All the day long, all the night through, he's caring for me and he's caring for you. His mercies are tender. His love is ever true. It matters to him about you. Amen? That's he 1 Peter 5, 7. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. But we must translate it. It matters to him about you. Aren't you glad about that, eh? It really matters to him about you. Righto, listen to the tune. I think you're going to like it. And the tune once more, I'll fit the words in for you, and then we'll see you next time. Thank you. It matters to him about you. It matters to him about you. All the day long, all the night through, he's caring for me, and he's caring for you. His nurses are tender, his love's ever true. It matters to him about you. These words, that's the tune, there's no excuse. Everyone sing them all. It matters to him about you. It matters to him about you. Sing all the day long, all the night through. He's caring for me and he's caring for you. His mercy of tender, his love ever true. It matters to him about you. My, that's wonderful, you know. You must be all well to be able to say a chorus like that the very first time. I've heard those and never heard that chorus before. Oh, boy, only about three of us knew it. Come on, we'll see it once more tonight. It matters to me about you. Good. It matters to me about you. All the day long, all the night through, he's caring for me, and he serves as a tender, his love is ever true. Very good. You understand, a Welsh will enjoy salvation because he can sing about it. That is because he can argue about it. The English, because they can talk about it. We Scottish people enjoy it because it's free. It's without money and without price. Everyone sing out once more. You got it now, eh? It matters to me about you. Very good. It matters to me about you. All the day long. It's all the day long. It's all the night through. He's caring for me and he's caring for you. His mercy are tender, his love ever true. It matters to him about. Good, now you sing it out this time, I'm going to tone down. Come on, you sing it out, all right? It matters to him about. Very good. It matters to him about. All the day long, it's all the night through. He's caring for me, and he's caring for you. His mercies are tender, his love ever true. It matters to him about. Ah, you're a wonderful group, that's one. Let us all rise and just change the position and sing it once more. Everyone rise and sing, right? It matters to him about you. It matters to him about you. See all the day long, see all the night through. He's caring for me and he's caring for you. His mercies are tender, his love's ever true. It matters to him about you. Thank you, that's wonderful. You know, as I looked at you, you're singing just now, I believe you meant that, didn't you, eh? And you really know the joy, it really matters to him about you. Isn't that just wonderful? Right, so then tonight we're going to look at this theme. Those people saved by the law, that would be the basis for our studies now, during this week. Old people saved by the law. Sunday morning we'll look at the theme, oh, what think you of Christ? Then Sunday night, what say you of Christ? This morning, what shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? I don't think any of us will ever remember, or forget rather, the closing murmurs of this particular meeting this morning. The quiet hush that prevailed over this gathering. And I believe transactions took place that we heard of them. There's going to be eternal value and for God's glory. Be much in prayer regarding these morning sessions. And God's Spirit may continue to operate in our midst. We may indeed see the overflow right onto the colony, right down to Keystone Heights, right down the star. For the end of the meeting of the week, we shall see this place packed to capacity. Now God's able to do that. Remember, he saved us. He separated us. He sealed us. And he sent us. He sent us. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. I like this grand old-fashioned word saved, don't you? For remember, you're either saved or you're lost. No neutrality, no middle way. We're either in Christ or we're out of Christ. We're either saved or, again, I repeat, we're lost. You know, some people don't like this word saved. You know, even the whale that swallowed Jonah must have been a modernist. You know why? For no sooner had Jonah got inside that whale, they shouted, "Salvation of the Lord!" The old girl vomited him out. Out you go, Jonah. I don't believe that down here. And out he had to go. Beloved, many tonight, maybe in this area, but they don't believe you're saved by grace and by grace alone. They don't believe, my friend, the Lord does all the saving. Oh no, but we do, don't we? Oh, people saved by the Lord. And remember, when he saves us, it's a complete salvation. He saves us in and in, and out and out, and through and through. I thank God for this complete, once for all, salvation. He saved us with our threefold salvation. He saved us from sin penalty. He is saving us from sin's power. And one day he'll save us altogether from sin's presence. Salvation Army, lassie, all dressed up in a nice new officer's uniform, went into a compartment of a railway train back in the British Isles. She wanted to do something for the Lord Jesus. She wanted to lead some soul to Christ that particular day. Sitting in a railway compartment was a bishop of the Church of England, all dressed up in his bishop's garb, sitting in the corner reading a magazine. He was the only person in the compartment. Said that, my, if I could only land this fish, wouldn't it just be wonderful? And she looked at him again, if I could only win this man for Christ, wouldn't it be wonderful? But she didn't know exactly how to approach the good bishop. So, ladylike, she dropped something quite close by him. As a gentleman, he put his magazine down, stooped down, picked up. There you are, my dear. Says, thank you, sir. Sir, may I ask you a question? Yes. Sir, are you saved? No, my dear. What do you mean? I mean, have you been born again? Are you saved? Now, hold on. What do you mean by being saved? Do you mean, have I been saved? Or I am being saved? Or I will yet be saved? A poor man doesn't know of salvation, you see? I mean, have you been born again? Have you received Christ for salvation? Then, my dear, I know exactly what you're talking about. He took a little New Testament from his pocket, and he gave her a wonderful exposition of the word saved. She knew nothing at all about the tenses of salvation. All she had been saved from hell one day, put in heaven by and by. And you know, I come across a lot of people, and that's all they know. All they know. Just being saved from eternal punishment, one day, put in heaven by and by. Friend, they know nothing whatever about an ever-living, ever-present Savior. We sang that beautiful hymn tonight. Christ liveth where? In me. In me. Friend, and he explained to her his incredible Greek expression. He had delivered us from sin's penalty. Past. He is delivering us from sin's power. The present. And he will yet deliver us from sin's presence in the future. It's a wonderful salvation we have. We've got a never-living, ever-present Savior. He died upon the cross to pay the penalty against my sin, but he now lives in me every moment of every day to deliver me from sin's power. That's what Romans 6:14 says. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Oh, what a glorious message, and it's true. God has said it. It must stand. Pass it on. It's simply grand. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Now, Romans 6:14 doesn't say all that. That's a chorus written by Hudson Pope. I'm quoting to you now. But on Romans 6:14, may I repeat it? The words are wonderful. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Oh, what a glorious message, and it's true. God has said it. It must stand. Pass it on. It's simply grand. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Thank God for a never-living, present Lord who lives in the believer, lives in your life, and lives in my life by faith. The wondrous, glorious truth. Now, is it, people saved by the Lord. Now, go back with me to verse number 3 of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. We're going to a little Bible reading up to verse number 29. In verse number 3, it says, He loves other people. What people? People saved by the Lord. Now here we got a place in his heart. It's a place of affection. A place in his heart, the place of affection. Yea, he loves other people. John 13:1 says, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them to the uttermost, right on to perfection. It was this love that brought him down to the heights of heavenly glory, down to Bethlehem's manger, down to Gethsemane's garden, down to Calvary's cruel cross. There upon the cross, he suffered, he bled, he agonized, he died, all because his love for the Father, his love for the bride, his church, his love for each individual believer. And Paul could say, the Son of God loved me, and gave himself for me. As he hung upon that cross, with the mark of a dirty Roman spittle, intermingling his royal precious blood, he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Here is love, it is love beyond compare. Love knows no best. A love the same yesterday, and today, and forever. A love like himself that never changes. Having love, he loves right on to the uttermost. I love that, don't you? A place in his affection, a place in his heart. Now this love must be reciprocated. This love must be responded to. And what do I find here? As I realize the night, I got a place in his heart, the place of affection, and he loved me, and gave himself for me. My beloved brother who opened in prayer tonight, asked this morning, could I quote the last 12 words of Galatians 2:20? These are the words. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now go to these last 5 words. The Son of God loved me. Then those next 3. And gave himself for me. Paul said, remember, it's no longer I but Christ that liveth where? He liveth in me. Now the love life indwells each and every believer. When we come down to these last words, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. You take the last 3 words and you read them backwards. And what do you read? In response that matches love, it shall be me for himself. Love responding to love. Love begets love. Now the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now what am I going to do? Prostrate myself before him in love, in adoration, in affection, cry. Take my love, O Lord, I fall at thy feet as treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Sure, that's all we can do, dear children of God. Because the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me, in response I would give my whole being to him. I'm quoting now Dr. Alexander McLaren, that prince of expositors, who said, in response for the gift of a whole Christ, I give my whole self unto him. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. May I ask you lovingly to take the 3 last words again? And from your heart, lead them backwards. From this night, henceforth, it shall be me for himself. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my life, my all. Not only have you got a place in his heart, a place of affection, next phrase, you've got a place in his hand, the place of security. The place of security. I love this, Joe. All thy saints are in thy hand. Now this does something to me. Because only if I got a place in his heart, and his love never changes, his love's always the same, and no force, nor power in heaven, nor earth, nor hell, can sever me from that matchless love. But here's a wonderful truth. I got a place in his hand, the place of eternal security, and it says in John, 10:28, I give unto my sheep eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man, and the fourth word of me, not even I myself, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Going back in my Bible to Isaiah 41:10, I read, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Verse 13 of the same chapter says, I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying, fear not. I go back in my Bible to Exodus 15 and verse number 6, and we read, thy right hand has become glorious in power, thy right hand has dashed in pieces the enemy. That's the hand holds you, my brother, my sister, and that's the hand will never, no, never let you go. I go now to Hebrews 13, verse number 5. What do I read? The Lord himself said, I will never leave thee, nor I forsake thee. Mr. Arthur Smith, the author of that lovely corner, Do You Believe He Is Precious? And I'm so glad it's in the new hymn book that's just come out, by which is one of the best collections of hymns just come out. And that chorus is in that book. Do you believe he is precious? Mrs. Smith and I went to see a lady that just lost her husband down at Parham Springs. Mrs. Smith's old sweet fatherly way said to her, my dear, isn't it wonderful to know the Lord has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Said, yes, it's wonderful. But he said to her, isn't it wonderful the Lord has said, I will never, never, never leave thee. I will never, never forsake thee. And he said, my dear, isn't it wonderful how the Lord uses five nevers? She looked straight at us and said, if you preachers need five, one's quite enough for me. Have you got it? One's quite enough for me. And the Lord said, I will never, no, never, no, never leave thee. No, never, no, never forsake thee. But Waymouth translates it like this, and I like his translation. He himself has said, I will never leave thee. Now notice, I will never, no, never let go. Have you got that? In the past, he brought me forth by his own right hand. At this present moment, he's holding my right hand, and for the future, he says, I will never, no, never let go your hand. Isn't it just lovely? Thy right hand, glorious in power, holds me this very hour, dashed in pieces the enemy. I'm saved for all eternity. I defend my salvation not depending upon me. My salvation depending upon my adorable Lord Jesus Christ. And God looks upon him with complete satisfaction, and he sees me holy and without blame before him in love. God, my friend, looks upon his Son, and as Christ is before the Father, so am I down here tonight at Park of the Palms. All the wonder of this mess of grace, that only have I got a place of heart, a place of affection, a place of hand, a place of security, but I trust you're clear about this. I trust you're clear regarding your soul's eternal salvation. Because, my friend, if you can be saved today and lost tomorrow, how often is Christ crucified? And I speak reverently when I say this. You can't be saved without Christ having been crucified. My friend, if you can be saved today and lost again tomorrow, then saved again the next day, you mean Christ is crucified again? 1,000 times no. Calvary, oh Calvary, will never be reenacted. Hebrews 9:26, once in the end of the age has Christ appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Once, only once. I'm so glad about that, aren't you? Done is the work of faith once and forever done. Finished the righteous that clothes the unrighteous one. We bow before him. We worship and we adore. As we see tonight, I have a place of heart. The place of affection. He loves me. And that love never changes. It's warm and loyal and sincere and true. I very seldom talk of my love for the Lord Jesus. It's so spare-bodied, it's so erratic, it's so cold, so changeable. I always love to talk of his love for me. That love knows no change whatever. Yet with all sincerity and in deep humility, I can truthfully say, I love the Lord. Because if we don't love him, we don't know him. 1 John 4:7. To know him is to love him. To love him is because we know him. All the wonder of this truth, and our place is hand. Then again, we got a place at his feet. The place of communion at his feet. What's the same verse, number 3 again? May I read the verse? Yea, he loved the people. All his saints were in thy hand. And they sat down at thy feet. The place of communion. Oh, the joy of sitting at his feet. May I ask you very lovingly, with all sincerity, what have you known of this today? Let us be honest. Have you sat at his feet today? We've been so busy, rushing here, rushing there, but have you taken time to be alone? May I let you into those secrets? I'm so alone in this, but it's my practice to see his face before I see any other face in the morning. To hear his voice before I hear any other voice in the morning. Have you got a trysting place? A time and a place where you meet with the Lord face to face? Have you got a QT? A quiet time? Not done by a legality, nor bondage, nor conscription, but out of a heart, love, and devotion for your Lord, and you want to be there with him, in communion with him? All great men and women of God, whether in this present generation or generation gone by, are men and women who know what it is to spend time alone with God. Looking in that lovely face, and by doing so be transformed into the image, hearing his lovely voice, all sweet and so full of music is that voice as you read the Holy Scripture. He does not reveal himself, you my friend, in trances, nor in dreams, nor in vision, but through the Holy Word. He opened unto them the Holy Scripture and showed himself to them through the Holy Scripture. You don't know what he looks like? You must take time to get alone with him, in communion with him. Beloved, may I say this lovingly, no amount of Christian activity, no amount of Christian service will compensate for your neglect of the quiet time. The Lord does not want our service, he wants you, and he wants me. And our service will only be effective and convincing and fruitful in the measure which the Lord has got you, and he's got me. In Arizona University, there I give a talk to the InterVarsity on the value of quiet time. So it's a joy to speak to this group of people. Now remember, instead of using the term quiet time, I abbreviated it and said QT. QT. Every time I came to the expression QT, I noticed some of the male students smiling. Having my mind like I got, I knew exactly what they were smiling about. And look, fellows, I'm not talking about QT. I'm talking about QT. See, QT may keep you from QT, but she must not. You must not allow any cutie nor anything coming between you and that quiet time. That saintly man of God, the late Harold St. John, compared to you, of course, here I noticed that St. John, walking down through the city of Hereford, was approached one day by a friend of mine, said, Mr. St. John, why is it you're always so radiantly happy? Mr. St. John is sweet wang. As you remember him, lovely rosy face, lovely white snowy hair, a glow coming through his countenance from a radiance that shone from right within his own innermost being. He said in his own sweet way, well, is the reason? It is this. Every morning when I awake, I wrap my soul in his steadfast love. I wrap my soul in his steadfast love. 7,000 miles away, in the city of Victoria, British Columbia, with Alfred May, another giant in the things of God. He was asked a similar question. Mr. May, why is it you're always so triumphantly happy? Mr. May threw himself back on his heels as he ever wanted to do. And he said, the only reason I can give is this. There's never a morning before I leave my room, but I bathe my soul in his steadfast love. No wonder, as the one wrapped in Philip, his soul, as he meditated upon the Holy Scripture, and he saw the Lord Jesus that loved him over his whole being was saturated, and when Philip, a rat in the love of the Lord, and he was girded for the battle of life, and he went forth, girded for the battle of life, that a saturated bathed soul, his soul, and soul that very love penetrated into every part of his being. The one was recognized as radiantly happy, the other triumphantly happy. Why? Because he knew the value of the cutie. I looked around this very fine, intelligent congregation tonight, and I want to say this to you ever so lovingly, from heart to heart, if you have not got a cutie, then tonight you're in a backslidden condition, and I don't care who you are. If there's not a time and a place where you meet with God face to face during some part of the day, it's a choice between you and the Lord. Out of love, not legality, not bondage. Because you love him, you want to be with him. Isn't that true? Oh, you're ever so active. Ever so active. Listen, if you don't come apart, you'll fall apart. And the Lord will see that you do fall apart. You might learn the secret. The Lord wants you, and not yourselves. And our service, my friend, will only be convincing and vital and fruitful for God's glory in the measure which we take time to be alone with God. You say, all right for you preachers. Right there. Down the same verse. Everyone shall receive of thy word. The praise of this section. Not only are we going to hear his voice and his word, but we're going to receive it. We're going to appropriate it. We're going to make it our very own. Up to then, once we're talking to various universities and colleges, various institutions, people turn around and say, introduce you. Before they introduce Mr. Basil, what university did you graduate from? And what degree do you have after your name? I look and smile, just smile and say, I never yet graduated from college. I'm still at college. Oh dear. What college are you at? I'm at Mary's College. Mary? Never heard. Is that a Catholic college? Oh, yes. Yes, it is. It's worldwide. What is that college? And sat at Jesus' feet. There it is. You know, a Bible school, a Bible college, is the easiest place in the world to backslide. You know that? And I preach and I teach at many of them up and down the great North American continent. And I've said it publicly, as clear as Trinity, in Dunedin just recently. And I said that some students came up and said, Mr. Boswell, why did you say that? And a Bible school is the easiest place to backslide? Isn't it true? I said, yes. We were far better Christians before we came here. You know why? Their minds have been stuffed with data, stuffed with facts and figures and theory. I'm not taking time to learn with God in a vacuum. A vacuum. And in that day, seeing that student body, I said, now what you're getting in the classroom, get away to your own room down behind some tree where you have notebook and try to transform it into your own innermost being. May it become part of you. You hear the word and receive the word. Make it your own. And in doing so, you're going to grow in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? We not only got to appreciate the word, we got to appropriate the word. People are very kind, you know. Just as you are here, in the part of the pan, sometimes you try to kill us with kindness. They say, here's the evangelist, come, let us kill him. And then that was worse. And that was kindness. Miss Beale invite you up for a meal and stand behind the chair upon it for you at that table. Mention all the nice things you can about that meal, how delightfully it's served, how delicately it's cooked, and so on. But they're not satisfied with my talking in a priest's terms about meal. Using good schoolboy language, they want to make an attack upon the meal.
That is, they want me to appropriate it. That which I have appreciated, they want me now to appropriate. Then it will be assimilated into every part of my being, go into the bloodstream, go to make bone, go to make muscle, and unfortunately, go to make fat. But I don't believe in the fall away doctrine. I told you that, didn't I, eh? And the fat belongs to the Lord, and the fat's precious to the Lord. And remember, Psalm 92, verse 14 says, they shall be fat and flourishing. Amen? Now what? Nobody said amen to that. Right, here it is. May I help you right here? We got not only to appreciate the word, we got to approach, and then it becomes part of us. Part of us. It shall mold us, sanctify us more and more into the image of our beloved Lord Jesus. A place at his feet. Communion. Receiving his word, reception. Now slip down to verse 12. Because this is a very bad subject. Now you want to touch these things for you. May a real blessing. Verse 12 saying, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety where? By him. A place by his side. The place of fellowship. The place of fellowship by his side. He walked with me and he talked with me along life's narrow way. Now what have I known of that today? What have I known of walking with him today and talking with him and hearing his voice along life's narrow way? You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. The joy of that, the reality of that. I pleased by his side. Into that side was placed that spear, and from that side came forth blood and water. Yes, by his side. He we walk in the light of season like we have fellowship one with another. And how can two walk together except they are agreed? But if I know the joy of the place of affection and security and communion and reception, there'll be no doubt about it, I shall know the joy of this wonderful, sweet fellowship with our adorable Lord Jesus Christ. There it is, my friend. The word saved is an interesting word. It means not only I am saved, that's true, but it brings with the assurance and the confidence into my own innermost being that I am safe and secure. Same word used in Hebrews chapter 4. We have not just a statement of a fact, but bringing the assurance and the inward conviction of my spirit being, we have a great high priest. Aaron's sons were priests. Aaron was a high priest. But we have a great high priest. Jesus, the Son of God. As Jesus, he knows my every need. As the Son of God, he is able to meet my every need. And there's not a pang that rends the heart, but the man of sorrows shares the part. There's not a throb, not a throb that my heart does know that he feels it about, and it matters to him about you. The place of safety, the place of fellowship by his side. And next word, and cover him all the day long, means I completely enveloped, completely covered, just like Noah and his family in the ark, safe and secure, completely covered and sheltered in the ark. It was never the golden boat that came to the floods of judgment, not at all. The ark was pitched within and without the pitch. It was never the perfect life of my adorable Lord Jesus that saved my soul, and not at all. It was the precious blood that was poured out at Golgotha. And that God, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Thank God for the cleansing value of that precious blood. Thank God that for all your other joy being sheltered, completely covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. I hurry. I shall dwell between his shoulders, the place of strength. The place of strength between his shoulders. I love this, don't you? In Isaiah 9, verse number 6 says, unto you a son is given, unto you a child is born, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. The word there is in the singular. But when you go to Luke chapter 15, it speaks about the shepherd going up searching for the sheep. Now as a youngster back in Scotland, those great Scottish divines taught us, when you're preaching, always put the crosswork of Christ in the center of your message. Whether preaching the gospel, taking a Sunday school class, ministering to God's people, always put the crosswork of Christ in the center of your message. Build around that. They say you'll never become a modernist. And you always have plenty of material to work from. It's true. But when you come to Luke 15, and you go down to that wonderful chapter, the 15th chapter of Luke, and you're looking for the cross, where are you going to find it? Listen, the shepherd goes out and he searches and searches, and I like this, until, having loved his own. He loved them right on to the very uttermost until Zingup 783 went all the way until he found that sheep. And he picked the sheep out, and what did he do? He placed the sheep upon his shoulders. No longer the singular. Beloved, you see how precious you are to the Lord Jesus. You see how precious you are to him. The government of the whole universe is going to bear upon one shoulder. But he's bringing you and me home to heaven. It takes both his shoulders for that. You see how precious you are to him? We shall dwell in a place between his shoulders, that place of strength. I love that.
I was at Marietta, Georgia, years ago, where they were still meeting in a little community building before they got the lovely new chapel. The chapel of that building, that community building, was packed capacity at Lord's Day morning. The school principal from Atlanta came in. As I rose to go to the platform, he took my seat. Here's a little boy, and his boy was leaning right over his shoulder. And I looked down and I saw the picture. And the tears came to my eye. A lump came to my throat because I could see my own self there. There I am, and the heart is affection. And that man was holding his little boy over his heart, right over his shoulders, a place of strength. And a place of strength, a place of affection, a place of power. And I noticed how close the daddy's ear was to the little boy's mouth. That close little boy's ear was to his daddy's mouth. Oh, I said, Lord, oh Lord, that's just me, that's where I am, Lord. That's where you've placed me, Lord. Right in your affection, right in the very center of your strength. Lord, your whole ear is open to my simple cry. Make my ear sensitive to your voice, Lord. That's where you are tonight, dear child of God. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Amen? Aren't you glad you're in Christ? Oh, the one of it all. Last in the Christ, because I really must close. Verse 27. Verse 27, Jesus says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. What more do you need? Because the eternal God is your refuge above you, his everlasting arms beneath you, and no matter how far down you may be pressed, my friend, those arms are still upholding you, still embrace you, and they'll never, no, never let you down. They never know an ache, they never weary, they never sore. Remember the days of Israel, and the hands of Moses were held up. The man of Hur was one side, Aaron the other side. And as they held up the hands of Moses, the great intercessor, Israel prevailed. But by weariness, his arms were let down. Then Amalek prevailed. Thank God we have a high priest, a wonderful intercessor, whose arms are never let down. There's never no weariness nor an ache. Aren't you glad about that tonight? And tonight his underarms are underneath us, undergirding, embracing, giving his clothes, his wonderful rest. Lord, I want to give this a place of rest. The place of rest. The place of affection. The place of security. The place of communion. The place of reception. The place of fellowship. The place of strength. And now the place of rest. Resting in his everlasting arm. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found him a resting place. And hallelujah, it made me glad. John 30. He girded himself around with a towel. Thank God his humiliation is gone and gone forever. Night will lift their eyes with the throne. We see him there girded around the breast with a golden girdle. A golden girdle. That circle knows neither beginning nor end. I was preaching at Guelph some time ago at the conference. Along this particular line about the golden girdle. There is a saint from Toronto came up and said, Jim, do you think the golden girdle refers to his restrained affection? His restrained affection? And I looked at my dear elder brother and said, who has caused the restraint? Who caused the restraint? Is it not our unbelief? I said, no, my brother. There, my friend, is a picture of his unbroken affection for his own. Having loved, he loved right on the very uttermost, and he's still around the breast night with that golden girdle. He wants us to draw near and to nestle down and know the tight embrace of that wonderful, wonderful breast in the arms of the Lord Jesus and feed upon his unbroken affection for you and for me. You know what's going to happen? Love's going to be getting love. And if it's a response rising in your very heart, you're going to cry. Oh, precious Lord Jesus, how lovely thou art. Come and abiding, rule in my heart. Break every fetter. Thy face let me see.
then thou shalt ever be precious to me.
Tomorrow morning, happy art thou. Of course, you'll be tonight, not just tomorrow morning. If you know that you have everything. See what I've got at? I'll try to get to. The whole Christ has been given for you. The whole Christ has been given for me. His heart, his hands, his feet, his lips, his side, his shoulders, his arms. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love will mingle down. There's love and sorrow meet, far from pills, sorry to cross. Where the whole realm of nature and mind that were an offering far too small. Love, so amazing, demands my heart, my life, my all. This morning we close with these words. His Lordship heartfully disputed. We will not have this man to reign over us. It took me back, but time did not permit me to say it, to Edmonton, Alberta. Speaking there, the large Jubilee Auditorium at the Thanksgiving Convention, John Smart, Dr. James Naismith were the other speakers. It was the closing moments of the conference. Now, see on the message I spoke this morning at that convention, the fourfold aspect of the Lordship of Christ. And I stopped and looked around that crowd of over 1,000 people and said, is there any man, any woman, would dare stand up tonight and say, I will not have Christ reign over me? You could hear a pin fall. No one moved. Well then, who tonight will stand up and from his or her heart say, I will have Christ reign over me? We rise to his feet. The first one to his feet was John Smart. The second one was Dr. Naismith. And the one after another at great auditorium rose and we sung as we finished this morning. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold all my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit all shall see Christ only, always living in me. Some people tonight are in the mission field from that convention. You may not be called to go to some foreign land, but just where you are, that your light may become an outshining of the indwelling Christ. He loves you. Do you love him? 362. Number 362. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let me fill with ceaseless praise. 362. And we'll go on from there tomorrow morning, God willing, on the happy people. A saved people, they are a happy people. 362. Notice the words of the lovely hymn as we sing them. In light of what we've been listening to, the whole Christ given for you, the whole Christ given for me, may we respond and give our whole life to him. Take my life and make me
And my beloved brother and Mr. Wilders were here tonight, I knew what he'd be doing. He'd ask you tonight to rise and the verse would apply to you. The verse really applies to you, he would ask you to rise as a new presentation of your union to Jesus Christ. I've done it many times, but I'm not doing it tonight. As we come to the last verse, let's be honest before God and your work in your heart and my heart. Take my love, oh my God, I pour at thy feet, treasure store. Take myself, and I will be. Do I mean that tonight? Does it cost too much? It costs too much not to, dear child of God, in the light of eternity. The last verse softly.
Take my love, my God, I hope, and thy feet.
Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Redeemer, to whom be glory both now and forevermore. Amen. The meeting is over. We can be of any help to anyone, and please don't go away. That's why we're here, and know where we are staying in the campus. You want to come and talk things over? Be free to do it any time. If you want us to visit in your home, again, make it known. God bless you. Be thankful for coming tonight, and we rejoice so much because we know you're praying with us. And you're praying for us. May I suggest something? You go out quietly. Softly. Often after a meeting like this, they begin talking. It's just like the birds of the air that come down and snatch away the good seed. It's the devil's masterpiece. So when we recognize tonight the value, we're in the presence of God. Thank you for coming.